Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. Jim Masters here, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Shelley Hendricks is joining us, too. We're very excited about that. A fascinating conversation coming up for the next 30 minutes, so get ready for some inspiration coming your way. She's an executive coach and the founder of Blue Horizon Solutions. She works with leaders to unlock extraordinary team performance, personal effectiveness, and organizational excellence. Shelley has served as an instructional designer, executive coach, organization consultant, and strategic business partner inside Fortune 500 companies. Shelley has built global teams, managed global executive coaching practices, delivered leadership programs for high-potential future leaders at every level in organizations. And she's coached executive teams as well through strategic business transformations. What she does is really develop enriched content and programs that give people a customized learning journey. She says the learner's in the driver's seat, whether they're an individual leader in an organization or a team of leaders in an organization. You learn a new skill or capability, and then that forms the foundation for good, strong, capable leadership to emerge, which is authentic and genuine. If an organization is operating on every cylinder, their people are happy and high productivity happens, and they're connected and engaged with meaningful work. That's less management and more creativity, innovation, collaboration, and communication. There's a foundation of trust that's in place. She says to diagnose a culture, you ask people, how do you view leadership? How do you view your supervisor? How well does your team work together? Leaders grow future leaders. And when you have a culture that fosters leadership growth, everyone wins. Her website is BlueHorizonSolutions.org. That's BlueHorizonSolutions.org. If you'd like to connect with Shelley and the team. But let's invite her and welcome her together to Close Up Radio for part one of our exclusive two-part series together. She comes to us today live from Phoenix, Arizona. Shelley, good morning. Great to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Well, good morning, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, you are very, very welcome. And this is really fantastic. I love conversations that really dig in this particular way. And I'm interested in what has inspired you to do this work. What was really the keen interest that you developed in wanting to go into coaching, and specifically this the specialty that you have? You know, we all have our life's journey. We have our moments that point us in the direction of where we're headed, and sometimes we realize it in aha moments. We're supposed to do the work that we're doing because not only do we want to, but we have to, and we love it. How about for you? What pointed you in the direction of doing this work?
Yeah, thank you. Great question. I have always been curious about human learning and how people become, why do we make the choices we make, and how do we become the individuals that we become over a lifetime? And so that curiosity about learning started early for me, even as an undergraduate, reading the classical literature. I was always fascinated by character development. So who are these people and why are they making the choices they make? And so that evolved over time into what has become my career. And coaching is uniquely specialized to really address the one-on-one relationships. The work I do is more one-on-one than teams. But it's really about the individual and how do they want to show up in the workplace? How do they want to lead? How do they want to be remembered? And so I have a deep passion for helping facilitate those conversations.
That is fantastic. And again, it's the facilitation that really gets the ball rolling, gets things underway in a very positive way. Let's talk about some of that, Blue Horizon Solutions and the creation of the company and some of the extraordinary work that you do.
Yeah, great. So I founded the company in order as a way to really reach out and have those conversations with people, leaders especially, and to help them in a way that they might not have access to in a normal classroom training experience. We do offer classroom training and so forth, both virtually and in person, but really it's what happens after the classroom experience that where the person integrates that new learning back into their life, back into their leadership style, that makes the difference.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And making a difference is really what's part of this in a grand way. Why do you call it a learning organization and not a teaching organization? I find that fascinating.
Yeah, thank you. I am specific about that because I believe that the learning occurs in the seat of the learner. You know,
yes.
I can certainly provide information and, as we said, have the, you know, facilitate the dialogue, but it's really the learning occurs in the mind of the person and in the heart of the person that we're working with. And so I believe they, you know, they own the learning journey themselves, and we're there to facilitate. I sometimes call the coaches, we're like Sherpas. We are learning and leadership Sherpas. We have bring a bag of tools along, and we help you do some of the heavy lifting. But the work is also, it's your journey. So that's why
yes.
we believe it's a learning organization. Yeah.
Right, and that's what's really important to realize. It is your journey. And that's important because you can help facilitate things and be a conduit, but they need to step up, take responsibility, and really absorb all of this so they can apply it in their everyday lives, even when you're not, you know, on Zoom or on the phone or in the room with them. They can call upon some of the incredible technique and things of that nature that you have instilled in them, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So, again, there's skill development, which, you know, I learn how to give a presentation. I learn how to utilize a technology. And then there's what we do is more of the deep personal learning. So helping people to look at their own assumptions, their own belief systems, their own behaviors, maybe in a way that's unique and different than they've ever considered it before. So I really believe that leadership development begins with the individual inside the person who's leading an organization or a team. You know, the self-awareness, that ability to know and connect with oneself, to know that you're being authentic, that to know that you're showing up in a way that really reflects the person and the values and the wisdom that leaders bring to their work.
That's what's so important about it all. So let's break it down a little bit for the audience so they can really sink their teeth into a lot of this. What is the ideal organization? What would an organization that doesn't necessarily need Shelly Hendricks be like?
Yeah, so you alluded to this a little bit in the introduction. And so, again, it's that idea of high-performing organizations are those that really operate on all cylinders. They're, the people know each other's strengths and weaknesses and where they need to be interdependent with each other. And even at the higher-scaled team level, the teams understand how they work together. They're not working in silos. They're not working independently or exclusively of each other. There's a fully integrated communication and collaboration and innovation. And in order to have really good, powerful innovation, there needs to be a level of, there's a little bit of productive conflict, we call it. And so it's that idea of challenging each other to be better in a way that, you know, we ask questions. Well, have we considered this new idea? What if we did it this way? And so organizations that have created the psychological safety that, you know, allows for trust and inclusion and belongingness and diversity and all of those different perspectives really are better suited to operate in this way of high-performing behaviors.
Mm. That's important for people to realize, too, because sometimes, you know, in our busy lives, we don't necessarily pay heed to all of that. What are some of the challenges for the organizations, from your perspective, that you're seeing that are working with you, and how do you help them? Let's talk a little bit about some of the challenges and also how you help people meet the challenges and rise above the challenges and work mm-hmm. through the challenges.
Yeah, you know, I believe that, and this is shown to be true in our practice, people want to show up with their full and best intentions and their full and best energy. So we assume positive intent going in. However, people, we are on a learning journey. All human beings are on some kind of learning journey. So frequently, we don't intend to show up and have conflict, but it happens. And there are differences of opinion. There are differences of perspective. Again, it's that difference, that diversity of perspective that creates the necessary sort of challenging and friction. But again, that comes with, sometimes that crosses over into an unproductive conflict. And so people have misunderstandings. People have disagreements. And so sometimes they just need a little bit of support navigating those differences of opinion, those differences of perspective in order to get to a better outcome. And so whether I'm working with an individual to recognize their own self-awareness and how they're showing up in their presence as an executive, or if I'm working with a team to navigate through a conflict that has occurred, sometimes it ends. It starts with a pain point, right? So a conflict, or some organizations also really excel at being visionary, but may struggle to execute on the vision. And conversely, other organizations may be really good at getting the job done, getting the work done, but maybe they could have some support in becoming more visionary. So we help organizations try to bring that balance, that you know, fully integrated visionary execution, if you will. And that's what leads to transformation. When you see the vision, the bigger picture, and where we're going in the future, how, why does this organization exist in the first place? Why do we do what we do and do it in this way? And what are we missing? You know, some organizations mm-hmm. forget to ask that question. What are we missing? What are we not seeing in the market or in our customers' needs and so forth? So we help organizations and specifically leaders to navigate and to ask those hard questions.
I love that. You know, that is so true, and it is exacting too, so spot on. You have oftentimes the creatives, the visionaries, they can see mm-hmm. the bigger picture. They can see, you know, it from that creative bent. And then you have those folks who are more nuts and bolts. Okay, you know, let's build it. Let's formulate it. Let's, you know, tackle it and put the pieces, snap the pieces together. And sometimes in organizations, those two worlds battle one another, or they don't talk, or they compete. They don't blend as well as they should. And it's very important too, right? Because, and I've seen it even in various industries where, you know, they're over there and they're over there. Well, those are the people that are, you know, the visionaries. Those are the people who are picking up the hammers, and they are the nuts and bolts people. But working together and bringing the two together fosters this extraordinary result, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, both ends of that spectrum are necessary and vital to any organization. And yet they speak different languages. And so sometimes they just simply aren't hearing each other. And so being able to have the conversation. I worked with one leader many years ago who was a visionary technical expert and had, you know, been very successful in his career by having this vision. But sometimes he struggled to help his team see the vision and to see how he came to envision that vision. So we sort of refer to that as showing the math, if you will, in the equation, showing the steps and how this visionary leader came to see this new possibility or the solution so that the team could get on board and also envision this future together.
Which is very important, together. That's a key word. Mm-hmm. How do you diagnose a culture, Shelley?
Well, we use an evidence-based practice, so we may use different kinds of assessments that are out there, whether they're individual assessments. When I work with executives one-on-one, we use a comprehensive set of different type of psychometric instruments. We also use, you know, personal observation and different types of feedback tools so that we gather the input from stakeholders, the leader's stakeholders as well. How are they experiencing this individual? And all of those data points come together to create a view of, again, how this executive is showing up, how they're achieving results, or what would make them even more successful. The same is true at the team or organizational level. We can diagnose a culture by looking at different aspects of the culture. What are the values? How do they work together? How do they communicate with each other? How is performance being impacted by all of these different factors? What do they say about the culture? So it's a combination of some, you know, quantitative measures such as surveying and assessments and things like that, and also getting out and walking around and talking to people, even if virtually. So whether it's, you know, stakeholder interviews or, you know, team conversations, just to have a sense of what are they experiencing, what are their perspectives. Typically people know, right? People have a sense of what is healthy about this organization. Where could we improve the culture of this organization? What would you like to see, you know, be different? How can we make this a more successful and more meaningful, equitable, positive experience and sustainable, right? That's important too, right? How do we sustain this over time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's and that's what's great about this. That's what gives us the opportunity to really, you know, ponder these things, because again, it's important that you really come together and bring these things together, because it's, you know, sometimes we seem like we're flowing in a lot of different directions, but what do you love about it now? What are some of the things that you love about this? It's so obvious you're not only skilled at it, Shelley, but you're extraordinarily passionate about it as well.
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. I love when people get it. And I think that any teacher of any kind, any coach or any mentor would say the same. You know, when people, that aha, that light bulb moment is really its own reward. So I love seeing when people, you know, that click of self, like whether it's self-awareness or newfound, deeper sense of awareness of something, whether it's the individual, the team, the culture. And then they have a whole new set of informed choices to make, when that, it's like the world opens up, the window opens, and all of these new possibilities are available. And so actually you asked earlier about forming the business. So the idea of Blue Horizon, I just want to touch on this for a moment. I named the business Blue Horizon Solutions because if you think about, I'm a water lover. I love being in, on, near, or underwater anywhere.
Yes,
so,
ocean.
To me,
underwater, except
ocean,
financially.
Especially.
That's the only time underwater.
Yes.
It's the only time I don't like underwater, but bring me to the ocean. I love it.
I love it, too. And so we'll talk about underwater in just a moment. I'm also a scuba diver. It sounds like you are. So we can talk about that.
Yes.
But this idea of where the water, the edge of the water, as far as you can see, meets the sky, right? There's this place on the horizon where the sky meets the water, and there's endless possibility. There's endless potential there. And that's the kind of solution I want to help organizations and help leaders to create. So part of our tagline is about we help you, leaders, create waves of positive change for future generations. So it's this idea of you have the ability to make a positive difference in your team, in your community, in your family, in the organization, and in the world around you. And I believe that if we're able to empower anybody, because we are leaders in some aspect of our lives, at least in our own lives, we are leaders. And so being able to make that positive difference, there's a cascade effect. A friend of mine has a whole framework around the ripple effect that gets created in this way. And so we want to be part of that. We want to help facilitate that first drop of learning that happens to create this broader impact.
You know, that's so very true. And I love the way you put it. I love the way you sort of, obviously you do everything from a heart-centric approach. And, I mentioned trust earlier on in the conversation, and that's one of the most paramount things, especially having it established in the beginning, right? You establish that between you and the client and you, or the organization, because once trust is established, then people are more comfortable, they feel safer to share, to remote, to open up, and to relay things to you, maybe about themselves and about their fears and their hopes, dreams, desires, that they might not even share with the closest people that they have in their life, right? Because there's trust.
Yeah, that's true. That trust is, if you think about the trust is the foundation of any relationship. And it's very true in teams and organizations. And it's certainly true for coaches, right? Establishing a rapport with our clients is one of the first and probably most important parts of a coaching relationship, in my opinion, is being able to create the space for that trust to be fostered and maintained, right? So protecting and preserving that trust once it is established is just as critical, because it takes time to build trust, but it just takes an instant to break it.
Yes. Right. And we see evidence of that all the time in our lives and our world. It's just really amazing. So why would you want to, when it's something that takes time to craft and to bring to the, in an authentic way to the forefront? I love the 7 keys to unlocking talent strategy, a holistic view of how we run the people side of our business. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this is a framework I developed when I found myself having a lot of conversations about different parts of, so some organizations were really focused on attracting talent and making sure that they were seen at, by the talent pool as, you know, the best place to work and different types of awards and recognition that are out there in the industry. So that's attracting talent as part of this. And then, you know, I had another group of people that were very interested in managing performance and how do we give feedback and, you know, give a performance appraisals and things like that and do those in a constructive way that people feel successful and also challenged to continue growing. And so that was another component of it. And then I had another group of clients who were very interested in one particular industry. It's mostly small business owners who may have come to the work because they were looking for a transition. They wanted to spend more time in this space, but they hadn't cultivated leaders to come up and follow and take over the business when they were ready to retire. And so succession planning and succession developing leaders who would be successors and so forth. So I developed this framework as a way of connecting these some of these different elements and others into a cohesive way, right, for organizations to think about their, or, you know, about the work that they do with people. So it's end to end, right? So whether we're on attracting and onboarding people and setting them up for success and then helping them to perform and learn and grow and develop and then move into something else, whether it's another internal role or even branching off and creating their own business or branching off and creating something new or taking over my business, let's say. You know, it's a cycle. And in the human resources field, if you will, you know, we think of this as an employee life cycle. So there's a full flow of the work, and it's all connected. And so let's address it as though it's a systems approach to talent strategy.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. It's a beautiful way to put it. And I encourage folks to make contact with you to learn more because you're so passionate about what you do. And you're very talented, too. And it's something that, you know, you've also been very flexible and learned to pivot and shown your clients how to do the same, obviously, with the last 2 years, having given organizations and all of us an opportunity to do things differently. I know you truly believe leaders are more attentive to the health and well-being of their people as a result of what we've experienced the last 2 years. It's a real test for all of us, and you've been helping people guide them through it to find that clarity, that sense of solace, but also forward movement in their lives, which I think is fantastic. If folks want to make contact, the website again is bluehorizonsolutions.org. That's bluehorizonsolutions.org. Very special guest, Shelley Hendricks, on live from Sun City, Arizona. Beautiful place to be. Blue Horizon Solutions is the name of the company. And she'll be back on Tuesday, March 8th. At noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, for part two of this series here on Close Up Radio. Shelley, thanks for joining us on the show. Loved chatting with you. Great work that you're doing. And I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I certainly have with you.
Tim, thank you for your time as well. I did enjoy our conversation, and we'll have to wrap back around another time and talk more about scuba diving. I'm very
yes,
keen to
and
talk about that
boarding
as well.
and sailing and swimming and having to be dragged out of the ocean. We were in Florida real quick before we got cut off here. We were in Florida, you know, with family and at the beach, and you know they were packing up and getting ready to go, and they said, "Okay, Jim, let's go. You know, we're heading out now." And I'm like, "Why? Why?" And they said, "Well, it's starting to rain." I said, "Starting to rain? I'm in the ocean. I'm already wet. What's the difference?"
Right.
But then they said, "Jim,
I love that.
The Florida lightning. It's fierce. Get out of that ocean."
Yeah.
So we did. We will definitely circle
well, good.
Back
I'm,
on that.
I'm glad you
got out of the ocean.
Yeah, glad That's you got it. To safety, yeah.
Yeah. You take care, Shelley. Look forward to part two next week, and thanks for being with us. It was a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. The pleasure was mine.
Our very special guest, Shelley Hendricks. I'm your host, Jim Masters. Thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. Be back momentarily with another amazing guest right here on Close Up Radio. Until then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.